Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and I have Honey with me here today. If you hear her, she's very needy today. And we are coming to you on this August 3rd, this 8th Sunday after Pentecost. This Sunday at my church, St. Paul Chapel, will be the first time that we are accepting charter members and also the one-year anniversary of the church. So you'll hear a lot about where they have come from and where we hope to go and the hopefulness that is there. And I hope that you're inspired by that. I know I am. So now, let us come together in a time of worship and prayer. The Lord be with you and also with you. Hear now the words of the psalmist. We are in Psalm 107, verses 1 through 7, and then ending with the last verse of the psalm, verse 43. Hear now the words of the psalmist. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert waste, finding no way to an inhabited town. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted with them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and hungry, and the hungry he fills with good things. Let those who are wise pay attention to those things and consider the steadfast love of the Lord. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Sorry, honey's just being a menace today. Let us come together now and say those words of our faith, the things that we believe in, the things that we hold fast to no matter where we are and where we worship. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you today just humbled that we get to store up these beautiful things, these beautiful treasures in our lives that honor you, because you treasure us. You bring us out of the wilderness. You hold fast to us and you guide us and comfort us and love us through the hard times, and feed us and bring us joy and the good times. Be with us as we celebrate those things today. Hear us now as we pray the words that your Son, our Savior, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel lesson is from the gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 21. Hear now the word of the Lord. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who sent me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. He thought to himself, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. And then he said, I will do this. I will put down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. The word of God, for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, as we think and pray and meditate today on our treasures, the things that we possess that bring us joy, the things that bring us closer to you, remind us of your love for us as we hear these words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I love a good dinner party question. Things like, what five people, dead or alive, would you invite to dinner? What are your highs and lows of the week? What books are you reading? Where did you get that cute dress? And does it have pockets? One of my favorites is, if you had to get out of your house fast, what items would you take with you? We're just going to assume that everything else living in the house gets out with you, because who are we kidding? Everyone likes honey better than they like me anyway, and I would totally sacrifice myself for her. We're left with what items we would take with us. And when it comes down to it, people don't usually go for the most expensive items. People usually say things like, my family picture albums and Bibles. For me, it would be a few precious things that have value and meaning just to me. My grandmother Gogi's portrait, and the handwritten copy of our famous cheese muffin recipe, the oil lamps from my family farm in Twiggs County, the rug that used to sit in the entryway of the house in Milledgeville, the letters I have from my grandfather to his sister from his POW camp in Germany, and the love letters tied with a pink faded bow that chronicle my great-grandparents' love story. They have very little monetary value, but they're among my most treasured possessions. If I had to start over, everything else is totally replaceable, even the dresses with pockets. But those items that hold intangible value, those are the things I hold close to my heart. Those are the items I value the most. Today's scripture lesson is a stern warning. A man comes with a request for Jesus to settle a dispute about inheritance, about money and things that are to be divided. The man wants to spend his time building barns big enough to hold the spoils of his inheritance so he can relax, eat, drink, and be merry, the parable tells us. But Jesus, in his own way, is pointing out that none of those things matter. When it comes down to it, there are many people in this world that have nothing to inherit at all. When you worry so much about building bigger buildings, then the real treasures are often neglected or missed altogether. Jesus reminds them very plainly, one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And I think it goes one step further. One's life does not consist in any possessions. Our lives and our church do not consist of any one building or pew or hymnal or even one Bible. A year ago, that lesson was felt very sharply. It is a lesson that I myself have had to learn in my own personal life. Losing a sense of place and space is devastating, shocking, and upending. And the hurt can stay that way if we let it. The hurt can stay that way if we only focus on the loss of possessions. And Jesus is not gentle in his reminder of that. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? He says. So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. If we're not supposed to store up treasures on earth, but with God, then the question becomes, what should we treasure? I think it is the thing that we leave out of the dinner party question that is actually most important. It is the things that we have that have heartbeats that are the riches that we should seek. When you have to get out of the house in a hurry, it is the things that have life that are most important to save. When you came here a year ago, all of the other stuff worked itself out. But it was the people that were the most important to help heal. It is the people that started working together to show the love of God in the community. It is the people who are the most treasured thing that we can store up and protect in our time on earth, and the ones that we will see later with God. It is simply the heartbeats and the joy and the laughter and the working together that are the most important things we have. We have proven that it doesn't matter what our barns look like or how big we are or they are. It is those people within them working and worshiping together that are our treasures. At the end of the service, for those of you who are choosing to join today, you will pledge some things to the United Methodist Church. And that list of things shows just what the United Methodists treasure. You will be asked to pledge your prayers, your presence, gifts, service, and witness. And in return, those of us who are part of the greater United Methodist Church will pledge the exact same thing to you. None of those things are tangible at their core. They're more of where your hearts are than any physical thing that we can give the church. They're things that we use outside of these walls to bring the love of God to the world around us. They are things that show what true Christian love really is. They are actions and heartbeats. They are hopeful and joyful. They are laughter-filled and supportive. Because those are the things that matter most when everything else falls away. You, each of you, are the best treasure we have and can share. If we look at each of the things that we are vowing today, prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, they are all relational actions. They are all things that help build our faith and relationship to God, and they're the things that will help build our relationships with each other and the church. We pray for and with our friends. We show up for them in their times of need. Friendships are the ultimate gift that we can give to someone. We serve each other and together to build fellowship and strengthen bonds. And we bear witness for our friends, standing up for them and with them when we are seeking justice and mercy in the world. None of these things cost anything. None of these things, not one of them, is something that you can put in a box and wrap up. Those are the things you wanted to build together when you came here a year ago. And those are the things you have chosen to focus on as you built this community of believers. A place where everyone feels welcomed and loved. You can't buy that. You can't put a price on that. And you have proven that it is the people that do that work that matter and not where they do it. God is showing His love through all of you. What is on your list of things that you treasure the most? If you had to run out in the middle of the night in your pajamas with your hair on fire, what would you take with you? When I think about my list of things, the things that unite them, the idea that unites them all, are the ideas of light and love. Reminders of how I was loved by my family. And things that remind me of how my family taught me to be loving to others. Because the recipe, the rug, the letters, and the lamps all center around the idea that we should welcome everyone with light and care. And the picture of my grandmother reminds me of her love for me. It's not the actual thing that is the treasure, but what it represents. Light and love. Just like the light and love that this place represents through all of you. That is the true treasure of the good things that are happening here in our little corner of the world. We are storing up godly things to share. My prayer is that we stay focused on that light and love as we move forward throughout the many, many years to come. This Sunday, we will be having communion. One of the greatest treasures we are given as Christians was the example of Jesus' sacrifice at the Lord's table. It is time to celebrate new beginnings. Remember those people and places that have been a part of our lives before this time, and rejoice that we get to make new friends and memories together as we move forward in love. John Wesley's call to communion seems appropriate for this day. We don't want to leave anyone behind. All are welcome. Everyone has a place at the Lord's table at St. Paul Chapel. I want to end now with the words of John Wesley and hope that as you take communion throughout your own church communities, that you will remember these words and make sure that your churches feel the same way. Come, sinners, to the gospel feast. Let every soul be Jesus' guests. You need not be left behind, for God hath bidden all mankind. Amen. As we go through this week, let us remember those words. Let us remember that we are the treasure, the people are the treasure, the people we serve are the greatest treasure of all. And be thankful that we get to do that together. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.